This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a Friday. We're here. Chad Hartman with you. News Talk 830 WCCO. I keep having this dream. And I want to know if you keep having a similar dream repeatedly. Now, for me, most of the time, I would say 95% of the time, I wake up and I cannot remember my dreams. I don't know why. If you wake up and you can remember your dreams, I'm jealous. I wish I was you. But every once in a while, I remember a dream. And I've mentioned this at least once before. I would say once every, I don't know, 2 months, let's say. I have a dream where I'm going back and calling a game. And I've added this before, I'll add again. Leaving play-by-play, I did it for the right reasons. I did it for my kids. I enjoy the talk show. I've worked with some great people. My favorite job was calling play-by-play for the Wolves. Just was. And I had a chance to continue that. The Wolves are very generous, but what was going on in our personal life with our kids and, in most importantly, with Quinton, it just wasn't the right time. I was only 40. I had zero interest in walking away. None. I would like to still call games, but I made the 100% right decision. I would not have anywhere near the same relationship with Quinton, let alone my older boys. But for some reason, I continue to have a dream, some variation, where I'm back calling a game, almost always filling in for somebody. And I'm never prepared. So last night, I'm filling in for my guy, Yada. I'm filling in for my boy, PA. And PA has to be in the stands. For some reason, PA is in the stands watching the game. And I'm working with our whole crew, everybody I know over there. With Abbott and Hockey and Bursich and people I'm still friends with. But I'm showing up at the Vikings game at U.S. Bank Stadium. First of all, I walk into the wrong booth. And I'm sitting there talking to these people. And they're like, who are you? And I'm like, well, I'm calling the game. PA's out. And they're like, no, over there. So then I go into the next booth and then I recognize the people. But I have no idea who the Vikings are playing. You do this depth chart. If you're calling football, both sides of a pretty large placard, you set up how the offense is lined up, how the defense is lined up on each side, okay? And then you have notes about, okay, J.J. McCarthy, and if, Who is the backup now? I have no idea who the backup is now. They don't have a backup now. Maybe it'll be Kirk Cousins. Let's go with Kirk Cousins. And then there's some note on Kirk Cousins. And then you line it all up. I have not filled out my sheet at all. And I'm like, well, I can just do it on my own. But then at some point, somebody says, do you even know who they're playing? I'm like, I have no idea. And they go, can you name a couple of Vikings players? I can't name a soul on the team. And I eventually wake up. And more often than not, that happens to me with the Wolves game, where I'm either filling in for Grady or Horton, and I'm getting ready to do it, and I'm completely unprepared. And I guess I'm amused. I mean, there are a lot of bad dreams, Josh Wheeler, you can be having. You could have dreams where there's fatalities, mm-hmm. and it's frightening, and it's yeah. scary. I'm just having this silly dream that is repeating itself in some concept, basically the same concept. But I think the dream is telling me I'm lazy or something. Because I put in the work for this show. I put in for the work for this show after the show and on weekends and feel like I may screw it up on air. That's firmly possible, but I at least put the work in. But I keep having the same dream. So I want people to text me. 651-461-9226 or call me. Couple things. Tell me if you keep having the same concept of a dream repeatedly. Because I cannot be the only one. Okay, what is your dream that is happening? Also, what is your theory on why I'm having this dream? Why am I having this dream on a regular basis? If you would like to add this as a correct, honest answer, sure. If you want to add this as a bizarre, laughable, nonsensical answer, sure. You can do that. Why am I having the same dream or a version of the same dream? And are you also having a similar dream? What do you got for me? Major Garrett, in about 15 minutes or so, Josh Wheeler is in charge of music for one more day. Harrigan is back Monday. I'm flying back Monday, so I think Carter is in. Carter's out. He's sick, but he's still sending me disgusting, filthy messages. So I don't know how sick he really is.
He's fine.
What do you have, Josh? What do we got going here?
I think it's pretty simple for today, being a lot of schools really dropped the ball literally yesterday. The theme today is songs having to do with break, I mean, whether it's the title, artist, whatever it is. It has to do with all these brackets being broken.
Among the texts coming in on this same dream I keep having repeatedly, accurate answers, funny answers, odd answers, and do you have a dream that comes up in your life on a regular basis? Among the texts, and I'd love more. And a phone call, if that works, call in. We'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. You're going on the air and not prepared? That's a stretch. Same dream, post-college, 20 years, except had finals, and I've never been to the class. Yeah, that seems to be one of the themes of preparation, and you're not ready because you hear about that all the time. Chad, maybe you should contact your California psychics. It's a very fair point. And the fact that I've been out here, as long as I have been out here, back-to-back years, and I've not visited one of the California psychics, I should be suspended for that. That seems indefensible for me. Obviously, you have a secret crush on Susie Jones. Well, that's a given. And by the way, if you don't have a secret crush on Susie Jones, I can't help you. We all should. 651-461-9226. Keep the dream selections and suggestions and comments coming in. Chad, your dream is about insecurity. You like to be prepared for things, and you have a fear that someday you will be unprepared and it will embarrass you. I think that is the best answer I have heard so far. Because I don't want to go into something that is of some merit and of some import, and I have no idea what I should do or what I'm prepared for. So maybe that's a theory. Now, Josh, let me ask you a couple questions. Number one, do you normally remember your dreams?
It's kind of got a timetable on it. I remember it to an extent, and then as you know, the day and even the week goes on, it kind of winds down and filters out. But there's some where it's just I think in kind of one hand how many I can truly recall over time. But the collectiveness is it's got a time clock on it.
Okay, do you have a certain dream or a certain concept of a dream which happens often?
I mean, it's not, I'm not going to compare it to yours, but a lot of what I have dreamed has to do with either tornadoes, because I grew up in, you know, I was born in Oklahoma and I've always wanted to chase tornadoes. So I have tornadoes as a frequent occurrence in my dreams. But I do also have the sports one where it comes to being able to work radio for a certain hockey team, whether it's the Wild, the Huskies, whoever it may be.
You want to chase tornadoes? Are you kidding me?
That's my, hey, we all have dreams, baby. We all have dreams.
Yeah, put that one away. Stop. No. Tornadoes chase us, and we hide. We don't chase tornadoes. Mark has called in. What do you have for us, sir?
Yeah, so I'm a retired high school teacher, and since I've been retired, I've had recurring dreams with a teacher. And when I'm given the assignment, I can't find the room. And when I find the room, the assignment is not is I have to go make copies, and then the copy machine doesn't work. And then once I get the copies done, I go back in the room, and then I try to take attendance, and none of the names seem to fit, and just everything that I try seems to go wrong.
I think a lot of us have these dreams, right, where it's something that we do repeatedly, including the job, and we normally know what we're doing, and we're just feeble. We're just inept, because yours conceptually has a lot of the same patterns mine does.
Yeah, and I think we're just working out frustrations, which is because it's one frustration after the other.
Thank you, Mark. Calling again. More text. Chad, I had it last night. I'm at a new, different job, and I'm confused and uncertain about the coworkers, and they might be my dad and bar friends. Why? Because I've had many contract jobs the last 20 years, and some of which was lost. All good now, though. Lack of closure, someone says. That's interesting, because I just admitted how much I enjoyed the job and didn't want to walk away. Now, maybe they came to their senses by now and would have dumped me. But at the time, they asked me back. Let's see. I retired after a long, long time working full-time on a psych unit in a local hospital. I was a group therapist. I retired in March of 2019. To this day, I still have a couple dreams a week about leading groups at work. I think it was such a large part of my life. Interesting. Constantly have dreams where I see trouble with people. And it just sometimes our pattern of how our text goes. I thought we were changing the system, please. And can't help. Happened in real life to people when I was younger and knew it and didn't help them. You somehow were unprepared in life and still bothered by it subconsciously. Maybe. When I was on the radio, I kept having a dream that The record is CD kept running out. I couldn't keep it. Kept having dead air. Still have it every once in a while. Lots of good texts coming on. Chad, I believe your dreams are your brain's way of working out fears and desires in your subconsciousness. I think you have a fear of going on live, whether it's a sports broadcast or for this show, and fear you either forgot to prep or didn't have time. I have a repeated type of dream that I left my longtime job by choice to try something new, and I regretted it only to go back to my old job, and my job was filled. All these make logical sense. Then you have the debate, because you can have a group of people who are absolutely convinced that dreams are about your subconscious. They are about something that's happening in your life. They are about something that maybe happened previously in your life. They are sending a message to you. And I know that's very probable, and maybe it's happening all the time. But I also think at times they are inexplicable. And they are just a combination of odd events. Maybe something you saw on TV. You saw something when you were driving your car. You saw something work where it makes no sense. And there's no explanation to it. You know, there are professionally paid, highly compensated dream specialists. And it's a great gig to have, because there's no proof that they're wrong or right. Just be convincing. That's all you have to be if you're a dream specialist. I've had this same dream a couple times that I die. More text here. That I die in an avalanche. I haven't been back to the mountain range since. No. I would not do that. Now, Josh, if you want to, can you intentionally wake up out of your dreams?
No. Outside of the cliche, I'm falling and I wake up. Yeah. Yeah.
What was that now? I'm sorry.
Outside of the cliche, like you start to fall asleep, or you're dreaming and you actually are falling, and then you wake up. That's the only occasion where I for sure have woken up from dreams, but nothing that's like I am in full control of waking up, per se.
Okay. So you have literally, not the cliche, but you've literally fallen and you can wake up.
Yes.
Okay. See, I've had that too, but I don't know why. And when we've talked about this, maybe we talk about them. There are a lot of people who have this. I'm glad, because more often than not, these are dreams where I'm incredibly unhappy or uncomfortable or fearful something's going to happen. Yeah, dreams. We definitely can elicit plenty of responses on dreams. All right, let's get to traffic, weather. And right now with Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the Democrats trying to catch up to him, there's news every single day out of D.C. Our guy Major Garrett is next on CCO. Major is here. Let me remind you, the host of America Decides. You can now hear that Monday through Friday right here on WCCO Radio. We're the first station to carry it on air. You see it on CBSN at 5 o'clock, but you hear it right here on CCO Radio every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. So glad to have Major as a fixture on this radio station. Hello, my friend. Let's talk about Elon Musk, and let's talk about this meeting with the Pentagon, and what is the truth from your reporting yesterday. The New York Times cited multiple sources, and so did the Wall Street Journal, that Elon Musk was headed this morning to the Pentagon to meet with Secretary of Defense Hegseth, and among the things he would see, the potential war options that the United States has contingency, which they always have under any president, in this case, involving a potential warlike conflict or war with China. The president and the Secretary of Defense and others pushed back strongly, including the president and Secretary of Defense in the Oval Office in the last hour and a half. There's also reporting saying that, yes, the initial reporting was correct. But once the information came out that they changed the meeting, from what you know, what can you tell us?
So CBS News has not, through its own reporting, verified the initial assessments, which you accurately summarized in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. What we do know is the president and the secretary of defense vehemently denied it with a lot of gusto, with a lot of intensity in the Oval Office this morning. My experience with President Trump is when he goes out of his way and over again and revisits something he's denying, there has usually been a kernel of truth in it, and he wants to make sure that that kernel of truth is beaten into submission, which may have been what happened here. That might have been the plan. That might have been the intent. But it didn't. It may not have happened. I think that's a fair reading of it. But that's, I'm going to defer to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal on that. They had reporting that we at CBS News at this point don't have. It raises, though, a much more fundamental question. And one of the things that President Trump said today was, well, even if it was being offered, I don't think Elon would accept it. You know, he wouldn't be okay. Want to be compromised like that. Really? Really?
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Is that after the fact, okay, reassessing things? Like, oh, gosh, maybe we shouldn't have even thought of this in the first place. Or how did this thing get out of control? Or what would we do this for anyway? The proximity that Elon Musk has and continues to have in very favored status to the Pentagon, every other aspect of the federal government, despite pushback in some certain circumstances from federal courts about the methodologies of DOGE, remains a dominant political and governmental issue for our country. And it is beginning to create a small but not insubstantial brush fire of political opposition in rallies or congressional town halls across the country. There has been wildcat violence, and I'm not in favor of violence against any car company or anyone who makes cars. If you have a political grievance, protest peacefully. Don't set things on fire. Mm-hmm. People who do that,
correct,
should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. What the president calls them is up to him, but that's wrong. It shouldn't happen. That all being said, Musk and this government, the Trump administration, is as tightly wound as any outsider I've ever seen wound to a presidential administration. And it is our present reality, and many things are flowing from it. And not all of them, from a market perspective, are positive for Tesla. Watching CNBC this morning, Tesla is down 43% in market value in 3 months. Investors are beginning to pull the plug, saying it's a great company, it's a great product, but its brand image is suffering massively. Musk is trying to hold on to that stock value where it presently is, telling people, hold on, don't sell off. This is a huge story with many, many different dimensions to it. The Pentagon one may be just one of many, and I'll leave it again to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal as far as what their reporting was and where this meeting ultimately ended up.
You can imagine this week we've talked a lot of Tesla, and mm-hmm. my comments pretty much echoed almost 100% to what you said, and Elon Musk is the man in charge. I would be very curious, Major Garrett, to hear what the board and other top people at Tesla are saying to Elon, and if he's willing to listen when they are applauding his sheer brilliance and his hard work and his will that has propelled Tesla into its previous mm-hmm. position. And if some are honest, they're saying, well, listen, if he can help our government, great. But as you mm-hmm. just said, when a company of this stature and this size and this wealth is down 43% and that amount of money, there have to be board people who either have the courage or want to have the courage to say, Elon, Mr. Musk, what mm-hmm. are we doing? What sort of commitment do you still have to this company? And right. the owners of this company, whether they own the car or the stock, because I know it went up after the election, but it is absolutely plummeted, as you pointed out.
Right. And it went up after the election under the assumption that Elon would have what he's turned out to have. outsized influence, regulatory and otherwise, on the Trump administration. And there were people who thought that was something that would bring the company and its stockholders not unending, but quite large riches. Well, it did for a period of time, but the public backlash has ensued. And again, as I tell anyone in this space, acts of violence against Tesla hurt investors, which means lots of ordinary Americans. It hurts engineers and employees of the company, also, by and large, ordinary Americans. And it's a crime. It's destructive to your messaging, and it's a crime. It shouldn't happen. It's not the way to deal with this particular issue. It's not the way to deal with Elon Musk, because you're hurting lots of other people as collateral damage, plus you're committing a crime. But remember, Tesla is still, though its value has dropped, whatever the latest trading is, 42, 43, 43.5%, whatever, it's still the most valuable auto company in the world presently. So Elon is still doing very well. And SpaceX had another success this week, retrieving two astronauts at the International Space Station, bringing them safely back. Splashdown in the Gulf of Mexico, by the way.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Wow. Josh, hang up on him. Okay, come on.
Yeah, I go with a map designation that's 400 years old.
Yes.
So,
how about the Dolphins, but, by the way, who were awaiting the splashdown? Amazing. They knew. They had the timing down the whole. It's not gonna be a couple weeks. 9 months. We'll come back.
You know, I have in my head an SNL script that basically shows sharks pre-planning what they're going to do for Shark Week on Discovery, you know, where they all sit around and like, okay, they're going to drop the cages in. Now, this year, don't do the thing we've done all the other previous years. We got to do something different this year, you know.
Yes.
I think the Dolphins had a similar meeting.
Let me ask you this, too. Let's say you were on that capsule and you come back after 9 months and they acclimate your body, and I would love to get all the details on that, that works. I know the first thing you do, you spend, you know, about a week podcasting this show to get up to speed. That would be first thing. Second, you would contact your family and friends.
All my other missed episodes, yes.
Yeah. Again, first, this podcast. Second, you would contact your family and friends. Third, what is the third thing Major Garrett does after returning to Earth after 9 months?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
One I have never contemplated for even a split second.
One, I can't believe I'm spending my Friday afternoons thinking about here. What has happened to me? I'm Major Garrett.
Well, here's what I would say about that. So, and it takes quite a few weeks for your body to readjust to the pull of gravity, for your muscles to recover, for your balance to return. So let's just assume all that's been taken care of. And since I've come back from space and I have a kind of a semi-exalted existence here on Earth, I can go anywhere I want. I would go back to the beach in San Diego. I'd just walk on the beach. It's what I miss all the time. I swear to God, it's what I miss all the time.
Oh,
and,
I bet.
And it's a simple, elegant, but always pleasurable event to walk on a beach. To walk on the beach of San Diego, in particular for me. So that's what I would do.
When you step away, you're not going to be one of these guys that we're going to see you with a haggard beard and a metal detector wandering on Hotel Del Coronado, are we? I don't know. I'm trying to think what.
No.
You know, TMZ, a TMZ headline.
No, former
CBS mover and shaker, Major Garrett, unrecognizable.
No, there will not be a metal detector anywhere near me or my properties in Southern California ever. And if you see me on the beach, I'll either be walking or running. One of the two things. That's what I do.
Very nice. That sounds good. All right, hang on. We're going to take a short break, and I want to tell Major and tell the audience, someone wants to make a comeback, wants to be back. Who is this individual? You'll find out in moments on CCO. Among the texts coming into our line here, the Major Garrett talk and text lines, you act like third graders. Thank you. I have no idea how we were acting like third graders. That's when we were talking serious politics, by the way. Okay. That's not tied to our last topic when a texter tied to that said this. Why am I seeing Richard Nixon in a full suit walking on the beach? Yeah, that's what I want to see you in, like, full suit.
Come on.
Wingtips.
Come on.
Oh.
Come on. Come on. Come on. That's not fair. That's not fair.
That would be good. No, no, this is San Diego native. He lived there. He knows exactly what to do. NBC News, the evil NBC News, I know, dead to you, lose my number. Their headline, the Bidens want back in. Joe Biden has met with the new DNC chair, Ken Martin. Oh, just close-circuited Ken Martin. He handles criticism well. And others saying they are willing to help raise money, raise funds, appear wherever the Democrats think they should be. How long do you think those conversations lasted, Major?
How does Siberia sound?
There's a new voting block where we really think he'd help us. Oh, man.
Look. Sometimes in politics, things are multi-layered, and sometimes they are painfully obvious. This falls into the painfully obvious category of desperately seeking relevance. And that's not going to happen. I mean, the party will take anyone's money for sure. All donations are accepted in any denomination. That's true of any political party. But donations of the kind the Bidens are, in theory, discussing come with strings. And I would imagine, I'm rather certain of it, that the current Democratic leadership isn't really interested in the strings that would come with that involvement. Look, there's going to be a lot of postmortems. There already have been about this election. But what has become fundamentally clear is that President Biden misread what happened in 2020, misread what his chances were in 2024. And the public across every swing state simply did not buy not only what he was selling and what he handed off to the vice president. And the more telling evidence of that isn't what happened in the swing states. It's what happened in blue states, where the hemorrhaging of votes in New Jersey, Illinois, California, New York, even Texas, compared to the 2020 numbers, is for any Democrat who is sensible about this, appalling. Appalling. 1.9 million votes shed in California from 2020 to 2024, 900,000 in New York, 400,000 in New Jersey, 400,000 in Texas, 500,000 in Illinois. I mean, those are numbers that are hard to swallow if you're a Democrat thinking strategically about the future. And you cannot look at those numbers and not say Biden and Harris are implicated. And Biden's more than Harris. And so they're wanting to repurchase or reacquire at some price relevance. Good luck.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez spoke last night, the most austere, highly lauded, most rigorous, academically challenging college campus in America at Arizona State University, to a packed house. She was asked to attend Missouri. She said, please. I'm not going to waste my time there. Bravo, AOC. So she speaks to a sellout crowd. She obviously has jousted with Chuck Schumer. What kind of factor is she going to be nationally the next couple of years?
Well, look, so AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders are traveling the western part of the United States and drawing huge crowds. They were in Las Vegas. They had to open a larger venue because there were so many people who signed up. They're the ones who right now constitute what passes for a pulse in Democratic activism against the Trump White House. I'm not saying it's a great pulse, but I'm saying it is one. And activists, grassroots activists, especially those who are generationally skewed younger, Gen Z and Gen X, want a pulse. They want someone to sort of articulate their popular rage. And AOC and Bernie Sanders are doing that. AOC also has made it clear she is thinking long and hard about challenging who? Who? Chuck Schumer. Mm-hmm. She was thinking about that even before the implosion over the government shutdown and subsequent Democratic hostility that was so pronounced that Chuck Schumer had to cancel a book tour.
Yeah,
a book tour.
Yep.
Not because Republicans were going to make it uncomfortable, but because Democrats were going to make his book tour uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly a portrait in courage, let alone a portrait of...
No, it's not. Yeah.
So you need a pulse, especially when your party nationally has an approval rating, depending on the two surveys, NBC and CNN, 27-29%, which means they're kind of close to each other, and it's not good. You got to figure out a way to speak to some part of your party that is active and looking for not just representation, but a little bit of articulated rage. And right now, AOC and Bernie are the ones who are doing it.
I got to jump in. Fabulous stuff as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thanks.
Major, right here on CCO.